Today is Thursday, March 26, 2015. We're going to hear Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Pesach and the Haggadah.
When you're done with the class, I'm going to ask you to please leave the tablecloths on, clean off the tables as best as you can. We would really be appreciative if we could all daven together, and that'll take place 3 minutes after the class ends. So please keep that in mind. We'd appreciate it. How many weeks, Rav Moshe, that there won't be class?
2 weeks.
So three weeks from today, we'll resume the classes, and we will be milchik when you come back. There will be blue tablecloths on these tables. I want to thank once again the congregation and for Rabbi for being so kind to us and generous. And setting up, those who set up need to be acknowledged. I will tell you that when we come back in 3 weeks, I know you'll be doing Pesach shopping and doing all kinds of stuff, but if you're going to be buying any paper goods, anything at all, we would appreciate it. We're running out. I think that many of the people prefer the larger, if you go to Costco, larger plates, round plates, colored plates.
Napkins
we need. We need napkins and maybe some cups. But whatever you could do, we really do appreciate it. So I want to take the time to thank all of you for making this a very, very successful class. By you guys showing up, learning with us, you do something very special for not only the Rebbe who teaches this class, but also our community. And so I want to thank you for doing that. And if you'd like to have other people come, just let us know. You're welcome. There's no requirements. But I just want to thank all of you for sharing yourselves with us. And of course, I don't have to say how much I appreciate Reb Moshe and his lovely wife for allowing us to have Reb Moshe. But I've learned with many people, and I got to tell you, there's nobody like my Rebbe. And I thank you very much, Reb Moshe, for everything that you do for us and everything that you've done for me and my family. So take the time to say that. I want to wish everybody a kosher and freilich a Pesach. Everybody should only know from nice things. Good health, happiness. May we see the redemption of the Jewish people come soon in our day.
Amen.
All right. I'm trying to think what to discuss in the Haggadah. Anybody have particular parts that they want to discuss? No? Okay. I'll just say some thoughts, but instead of going the regular route, the Vilna Gaon says an interesting thought. The Vilna Gaon says that we have four expressions of freedom mentioned in the Torah. Everybody knows that the four cups of wine that we drink on Pesach We drink 4 cups of wine at the Seder, so correspond with the 4 expressions of freedom. Where do we see these 4 expressions of freedom? At the beginning of the era, that's page 318. Page 3, here. L'chein amor l'vnei Yisrael, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. L'chein amor l'vnei Yisrael, therefore say to the Jewish people, Ani Hashem, I am God. V'hotzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. I shall take you out from under the burdens or the bondage of Egypt. That's one. I shall take you out. V'hotzeisi eschem. Then the second one. I shall rescue you from their service. V'hitzalti eschem me'avodasam. The third one is v'ga'alti eschem bezroin etuya. Ushvatim dolim, I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. And then the fourth one, v'lakachti eschem li la'am, and I shall take you as a nation for me, v'hayisi lachem le'elkim, and I'll be a God to you. So there are 4 expressions of redemption, and corresponding with these 4 expressions of redemption, we drink 4 cups of wine. Why? Wine is the symbol of chayrus, of freedom. In other words, wine was considered a drink of the emancipated, the people, the higher class. So because of that, it represented a certain status, a certain level, and that was not something that slaves was given, wine. Wine was identified with as a certain form of luxury. So the 4 cups of wine correspond with the 4 expressions of freedom. And this really has its origin in the Yerushalmi. The Rashbam and Rashi mention it in our Gemara. The Medrash Rabbah mentions it. But the Vilna Gaon goes a step further. There was a dispute between the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon. The Rambam says, you know, we talk about the 4 questions. 4 questions. One question is, why do we eat matzah? The second question is, why do we eat maror, bitter herbs, Pesach night? The third question is, why do we dip twice? And the fourth question is, why do we lean, Pesach night? Those are the 4 questions. The Rambam says, in the time the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, there were 5 questions. Because the 5th question was concerning the Passover sacrifice. Because they used to eat the Passover sacrifice, which was roasted meat. And so a question was asked about that. So the Rambam's opinion is in the time of the temple, there were 5 questions. The Vilna Gaon says no. There was always only 4 questions. It's true, in the time of the temple, they asked about the roasted meat, but they didn't ask about leaning. Why? Why shouldn't they ask about leaning? The answer is, just like we have 4 cups corresponding with the 4 cups corresponding with the 4 expressions of freedom, the 4 questions also correspond with the 4 expressions of freedom. So, when the temple was destroyed, and they ceased to give the Passover sacrifice, so the question of leaning was substituted for the question of the Passover sacrifice. But according to Vilna Gaon, there has to be four questions. There can't be three, there can't be five. There has to be four, because the four questions have to correspond with the four expressions of Gula, the four expressions of freedom. And then the Vilna Gaon goes further. He says, we talk about four sons. He says, why only four sons? Almost sounds like birth control. Why is there only four sons? He says, or why so many? I'll be contemporary. Why so many sons? So the four sons also correspond with the four expressions of freedom. Okay, it sounds strange. When we say the four expressions of freedom correspond with the four cups, we understand. But what's the idea of the four expressions corresponding with the four questions and the four sons? Now, I'll start with the four sons. Why is it with the four sons? The Torah says, "V'higata to levincha," you should tell your child. If there's no child available, then you tell your wife, you tell your friends, two talmidei chachamim, can ask each other. But ideally, the Seder centers around the child. And the question is, why is it that Pesach, it centers around the child? Why specifically Pesach is does it center around the child? I can give a lot of reasons for it. One reason we could give is, you know, Pesach always has to come out in the spring. The spring, nature renews itself. And the idea behind that is that we have to renew ourselves. Pesach represents, I think the Baal HaTanya says, Passover represents the birth of the Jew. And we can understand that. Shavuos is the bar mitzvah of the Jew. Except the mitzvos come required in the mitzvos. Sukkos, in a sense, represents the elderly years of the Jew. The Chag Osif, the gathering in of everything. So Pesach represents the youth. In other words, the renewal. A Jew has to be able to renew himself. And nature constantly renews itself. And Passover represents, in a sense, the formation of the Jewish nation, Goy Mikarev Goy. Now, how does a person renew themselves? It becomes youthful. And my father would always say, he mentioned that when he was a young boy, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so we say Al Tashlicheni Leiziknak Close Kochi Al Tazveni. Don't send me to my elderly years. So my father said that he went over to my grandfather. He says, listen, I'm 5 years old, why should I say this? So my grandfather gave him two answers. One answer is, it's in the Siddur, so you say it. And then the second answer was that it doesn't say Al Tashlicheni Bizikna, Al Tashlicheni Leizikna. Don't send me two elderly years. What does that mean? I think the main idea is, I would have asked the question different than my father. I'm older now than my father was when he asked the question. What do you mean, don't send me to my elderly years? We are in our elderly years. What do you mean, don't send, okay, I'm not yet there. But I'll ask the question 20 years from now, or 30 years from now, or 40 years from now, whatever. What do you mean, don't send me to my elderly years? I'm in my elderly years. What's the answer? I think age, besides, age has to do not just, my father would always quote the philosopher Bergson. He talked about my uncle in his earlier articles. In later articles, I don't see him quoting him. In the earlier articles, he would quote the philosopher Bergson. Bergson talked about quantitative time versus qualitative time. Time is not just to be viewed by numbers, it's to be viewed by accomplishment. There are all kinds of other issues that time plays a role. I think when we talk about age, if we don't talk about years, the idea is there is an attitude issue. We say that Sarah at the age of 20 was like 7, and at the age of 100 she was like 20. In other words, there is an attitude. There are certain people that when they're 10 years old, there's a lack. They have an old attitude. And there are people that could be like my father when he was old. He had his stroke, and he would go back and forth between New York and Chicago every week. In fact, the New York Times published a whole article on my father. The amazing thing how he, with his stroke and everything, went every Tuesday morning to New York and every Thursday evening came back. Why? Because if you measure time by age, so my father was an old man. Even if you measure it by the way he looked, he was an older man. He was even older. But if you measure in terms of getting places, and he would do one step at a time, my father would move around much quicker than anybody else. Much quicker than anybody else.
Spirit.
But it wasn't just spirit, theoretical spirit. I mean, he was always there. And so everything is attitude-wise. Pesach represents this idea of renewal. You could be 100 years old, but you could be young in spirit. But how is one young in spirit? One is young in spirit by associating. When you interact with the young, you become young. But those who do not interact with the young, they don't become young. That's the part of the idea behind Pesach. Part of the idea, it's not just to educate the child. It's to give the adult a certain attitude. You know, when you get down and you talk with the child, you get a young spirit. You get a young spirit also. This is one approach. But I want to suggest that there is another approach. Why there's such a focus on the young, on the son, the daughter, whoever it might be, on the child. There is a halacha. I've mentioned it in the past. And when I've mentioned it, I've sometimes been attacked. And the truth of the matter is, I understand why I was attacked. Because if the people who attacked me orally, no one beat me up for that, anyway. So I have been beaten up, but but that was for other reasons.
Yeah.
But New York.
Yeah.
So the law is that a neved, a slave, a servant, doesn't have yichus, doesn't have pedigree. His child is not considered his child. Now that sounds like a terrible thing. But the truth, the halacha is not declaring that it's not his child. The halacha was just expressive of what the facts of life were. When there was slavery, the children belonged to the master. The children were sold away from the parents. The parents were sold away from the children. There wasn't that bond. The parental child bond wasn't there. It was the facts of life. The halacha was just expressive of what the facts of life are. And chayrus, freedom manifests itself. On the contrary, freedom manifests itself in strengthening those bonds, in showing I have a child. I have children. I think that's the idea behind the Arba Bonim. The Torah wants to point out the expression, irregardless of the attitude of the child, irregardless of the attitude of the child, freedom manifests itself in this idea of parents and children. Even if it's a question, the very fact that the child comes and asks the question, even if it's a question that you can't answer, but the very fact that he came to some questions should not be answered, but the very fact that the child came to ask the question means that even if he is rebellious, he recognizes the bond. And if he recognizes the bond, that's a demonstration of freedom. So this is why the Arba Bonim, the four sons, are correspond with the four ideas of the four expressions of freedom, because the fact that the sons come to the child, to the parent, or sometimes the parent goes to the child by the Sheni Yodei Elisho, that is expressive of the idea that we are free. That's the idea of the Higadeta Levincha Bayoma Uleimor. You shall tell your child, because when it comes to Sechiras HaMolech, yeah, you tell your child, but you tell everybody else also. When it comes to Sechiras Shabbos, remembering Shabbos, you make Kiddush. No special halacha of the child. There's no special, but when it comes to Pesach, there is a special halacha in regard to the child, because that's a demonstration of freedom. Now, the question is, why four questions? Now, it's interesting that the word Pesach, according to the Zohar, it can be, from an Aramaic standpoint, means Pesach, a talking mouth. A speaking mouth. And the Zohar says that when the Jews were in Egypt, their language was in Egypt also. Their language, I was enslaved, excuse me, their language was enslaved. What's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is that a Jew who is in, not just a Jew, anybody who's enslaved, just doesn't have the ability to talk. Doesn't have the ability to talk. Matter of fact, you take a look at the four expressions of gula, the four expressions of freedom. So one is Vahotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos mitzrayim. You will take me out from the burdens, from under the burdens of Egypt. Vehitzalti eschem me'avodosam. I will take you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I will save you, and I shall say, rescue you from their service, or from their servitude. What's the difference between those two expressions of freedom? I will take you out from under the burdens of Egypt, sivlos Mitzrayim, and v'hitzalti eschem, and I shall save you from their servitude, and I shall save you from their servitude. Seems to me to say the same thing. The other two, we understand. V'ga'alti eschem b'zroin etuya shvatum dolem, I shall redeem you with an outstretched hand. There's something else expressed there. And v'lachati eschem lilam, and I'll take you as a nation. All that expresses different ideas, but the first two expressions of freedom are saying the exact same thing. They're saying the exact same thing. Now, the Sforna discusses it, the Ramban discusses it. I actually want to suggest something different than what they did, because when the Egyptians enslaved the Jews, it wasn't only because they wanted the free labor. It wasn't only because they wanted the free labor, but they wanted to subjugate the Jew. A slave has no ability to have his own initiative. A slave has no ability to talk. A slave has no ability even to complain. My uncle, on the basis of a Zohar, he says, it's very interesting, the Torah tells, before God appeared to Moshe, he says, Vayomas melch Mitzrayim, Vayaanchu v'nei Yisrael min avoda. The Jewish people sighed from the work, from the burden of the work. And up till that point, they didn't even sigh. It was avodas parach. They didn't even have the ability to sigh. My uncle suggests that the reason that they got the ability to sigh was because of the way Moshe acted with the Mitzri, that sort of, say, inspired. But that was just the way they were. And you see, they're constantly saying to Moshe, they want to remain slaves. So the only thing they were able to do after everything else was to sigh. And God, in a sense, brought that sighing up to heaven. They weren't even able to talk, to pray to God, to beg for mercy. In other words, slavery is not just the physical bondage, but there is the psychological bondage as well. And the psychological bondage manifests itself in an inability to say anything. I think that's the idea, mitachas sivlosam. He'll take us out from underneath their burdens. I might be wrong, you know, it's been many, many years. But when I was very young, maybe Pesach, I should renew it, I used to look in the Sfas Emes. And the Sfasemes says the word sublosum is my impression. Savel, to tolerate, to accept. In other words, something. The word of work. It's not just working, but it's the idea of tolerating the work, accepting, recognizing, one recognized that. So, in other words, part of the problem was the Jews' attitude that we are slaves. They didn't do anything to change themselves over from a position of slavery. They didn't have. That's part of what slavery is. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to remain. To have that attitude.
Acceptance. The Ramban.
Huh? Yeah. But the Ramban explains the words just the reverse. Yivanchel. Okay, that's right. Yivanchel. That God brought it up. So this is the. The Zohar talks. There are different levels of speech, and the Jews' speech had part of the freedom was first it came sighing. That's after many, many years. Even till that point, they didn't even sigh. Their children were being killed. Deep down inside, they might have, but there wasn't even sign. They couldn't. That's the effect of slavery. That's the effect of slavery. So I think the inability to talk. I think the Arba Kashos, the four questions. Somebody who is a slave, and there is a limit on what questions can be, but my uncle would always say that the question Manishtan is not why, what made this night different from all other nights. My uncle has a hope shot. That is my hope shot. But what made this night different from all other nights? That's the question we ask. Not why is this night different, but what made this night? The way I understand it. Because after all, when it comes to the last two questions, there is no answer in the Haggadah. Certainly, Tibble, there's no answer in the Haggadah. Where in the Haggadah is there an answer to the question why we did twice? Unless you have a new version of the Haggadah. There's no answer. There's no answer to it. And even the question of leaning isn't mentioned in the Haggadah. They say a person has to see himself as he went out from Egypt. Okay, but you have to answer the question. Don't leave it in a riddle. Well, you could say, not every question has to be answered. That's also important. That's an idea. Reb Chaim would say, my great-grandfather, from the Kasha Shtarknemit, you don't die from a question. We're not capable of necessarily understanding anything. It's okay to have questions, to think about things. Okay. But I don't think that's the answer. I'm just pointing that out because I think those are important principles, that just because you have a question, you don't have an answer today, you might have an answer tomorrow. You don't have an answer tomorrow, you might have an answer 5 days from now, you might have an answer who knows when. Medrash says that Avram Avinu said to God, he said to God, one hand, I could have asked you a question. You told me that I'll have many descendants, and then you say, take your only son and put him on the altar. He said, I didn't ask the question. It was an obvious question. But that's a question of why. That's not a question of what. And then he says, but then you came and you told me, Al Tishlach Yad Chalanar. In other words, I put him on the altar. But the answer became obvious. You didn't say to kill him. You said I should put him on the altar. So so just because we don't have an answer doesn't mean that we proved anything. It's just something to look into. And perhaps symbolically, we don't answer all the questions because you shouldn't think that there are answers to every question. But I think the idea is something else. The idea is a slave can't even ask questions. Can't even ask questions. Can't even ask the question of what? He has to wait till he's told. He has to wait till he's told. He can't even ask a question of what. So that's why it corresponds, because asking questions is the symbol of freedom. Is the symbol of freedom. Now I want to, with this same comment in mind, I wanted to discuss another point in the Haggadah. The Haggadah says, Yachomei Rosh Chodesh. I would think that the mitzvah of talking about the events of the Exodus begins from the first day of the month. Pesach is the 15th of the month. But I would think it begins from the first day of the month. Talmud Lomar Bayomahu, the Torah says on this day, on the 15th. Okay. The question is, but if I didn't have a pasuk, a Bayomahu, a verse that said, on this day, on the 15th, you discuss it, I would say that you should discuss it from the first of the month. And the question is, why from the first of the month? Why not 2 weeks before that? After all, that's a month before Pesach. Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag. We would prepare 30 days before the holiday. Why not a week before? Why would I have said from Rosh Chodesh? But I think the answer is, if I take my son and I sit him down next to me Pesach night and I take out a book about the Exodus. Now today they have children's books. Today you have all kinds of films. Prince of Egypt, Exodus. They just came out with a new version, I think. I didn't see it though. Anyway, I tell him over the story. I will not fulfill the mitzvah at all. I don't think so. Why? Besides that, the facts might be wrong that they contain. I'm not talking from that perspective. So, but I think the reason you don't fulfill it because you have to tell over about the Exodus in telling about the significance of the night. Man ishtana halayla hazeh. What made this night different? It has to be done in talking about Passover night. And by the way, that's what the Kiddush is also. The Kiddush introduces the Haggadah. The Kiddush introduces the Haggadah. And it says, this night is special. That's what the whole concept of Kiddush is. Kiddush is declaring the particular day special. Now, So the mitzvah of Haggadah is not just the mitzvah of telling over the story of the Exodus, but it's telling over the story of Exodus in explaining why this night is special. Now, under ideal circumstances, which we don't have presently, but under ideal circumstances, the new month was declared on the basis of the observance of the Beis Din receiving testimony about the new moon, and even that didn't make it the new month. It was the declaration of the Beis Din that declared of the court, the declaration of the court that declared when the new month is, when the new month is the 30th day or the new month is the 31st day of the previous month, so to say. What day did we know for sure which day would be Passover? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it logic dictates, when can I talk about the unique, when did the Torah require me to talk about the uniqueness of the Passover day, when under all circumstances I will know, I being the Jewish people, doesn't mean me in particular, the Jewish people has to do mostly with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, when the Jewish people will know which day is Passover. Since the mitzvah is talking about the uniqueness of the Passover night, so, and when did they first know, they would, when did they certainly know? They certainly would have known on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So because of that, I would think that the mitzvah starts in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But what we're saying here is that the mitzvah, so, but the halach is, no, you have to do it, you have to do it on Pesach itself, when you have matzah and maror in front of you. But the question is, why should it be that way, that the mitzvah of talking about Pesach is talking about the uniqueness of the night, not just telling over the story of the Exodus. Not just telling over the story of the Exodus. Why should it be that way? I think, with a certain svurna, which has been repeated over and over and over and over by all kinds of thinkers. Truth of the matter is, it really starts even before the Svurna's time. But the Svurna says, we say, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month is the head of all the months. Rishon Hu Lachem Lachodshei Hashana. It's the first one, the first month of the months of the year. So the Sforna says, what's going on here? So the Sforna says, I'll read it in English. It happened when I went in there looking for the Haggadah, I saw the Sforna in English, so this way I don't have to translate it. Henceforth, the months of the year shall be yours. In other words, there's HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. This month is for you. Henceforth, the months of the year shall be yours, to do with them as you will. During the bondage, however, your days, time, did not belong to you, but were used to work for others and fulfill their will, therefore. It shall be the first month of the year to you, for in this month your existence as a people of free choice began. Whoever wrote it apparently didn't like some of the ideas this Svurna was quoting, so he put a lot of the words in parentheses. But the truth is, it's written the way and these statements aren't parentheses in the Svurna. In other words, time belongs from the point of view of the calendar. And this is a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, the Jew isn't the one who makes it Shabbos. The seventh day is Shabbos. Comes to Yom Tov, we say, Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. He who sanctifies the Jewish people and the times. And our sages say, what does that mean? He sanctifies the Jewish people and enables them to sanctify the time. When it comes to the months of the year, we declare the months. What's the idea? The idea behind it is that time belongs to us. This is the way a slave, time doesn't belong to a slave. But when we are free, we have the opportunity. Unfortunately, most people don't use this opportunity. We have the opportunity to have time belong to us. Torah, the Medrash, the very interesting Medrash. Medrash says, Sarah lived 127 years. Medrash says, Tova and Esther ruled over 127 states. Tovo Esther, Shehi Bazbita Shel Sari Menu. Let Esther, who is a descendant of Sarah, who ruled over 127 years, come and rule over 127 states. There are people that rule over countries, over land, and there are people who rule over time. And to properly rule over land, you have to be able to rule over time. The Jewish people, they ruled, even before they got to the land of Israel, they ruled over time. Now, everybody has quoted this idea over and over. It really has its origin in Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And Svorna clearly says it also. It has its origin in Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says also, Avdei Hazman Heim Avodim La'Avodim, the servants of time are the servants of the our slaves. Avdei Hashem, the servants of God, they are free. So, servitude is identified in Jewish thought with being a slave of time. Being a slave of time. And ruling over time, as the Medrash says, ruling over time is what gives a person ability to rule, to have things under his possession. I think this is the idea here about now. So freedom manifests itself in ruling over time. I think that this is the idea of Kiddush. Kiddush corresponds. There's a big machlokus, a big dispute, which of the cups correspond to which word of which expression of freedom, between the Rashbam and Rashi and everybody. But everybody admits the first cup, the cup of Kiddush, corresponds with the Hotzeisi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. I took you out from the under the Sivlos, the burdens of Egypt. I think Sivlos Mitzrayim, that's the idea of the impact slavery has on the Jew. Behitzalti Eschem Me'avodasam, that's from the work. So, the first, Kiddush, what's the idea behind Kiddush? Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. And, it's important to know, Kiddush, our sages tell us, Zohar is Bepeh. We demonstrate our freedom by orally declaring we are in control of time. That's what Kiddush is. V'Hotzeisi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. I'm not going to let the impact of slavery affect me. I'm going to be able to speak, and I'm going to be in possession of time. That's what Kiddush is. That's what Kiddush is all about. That's why when we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the Exodus from Egypt, we don't just tell over the story. We talk about the significance of Pesach night, because who made it Pesach night? We made it Pesach night. Our freedom manifests itself primarily in being in charge of time, being in control of time, not in being in control of land. 2,000 years the Jews were in exile, they didn't have a land, but they always had their time.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Please take the time to clean off the tables. We're going to be davening in about 3 minutes. We would very much appreciate if everybody could join us and help make a powerful minyan. 3 weeks.